When I see a guy with a surfing profile, I actually swipe right on him, even if I wouldn't have before. Best worst case, we can go surfing, and he'll be an activity partner. That's exactly what he's on there looking for.
An activity partner.
Best worst case. So your best worst case is that you go surfing?
Yeah, I don't think
that. What kind of life do you have? If that's the best worst case.
That's the worst thing that can happen.
The best worst thing.
Oh, my God.
I guess with the worst thing?
It changed to the radiator for the weekend.
Yes, change the radiator. Ho, 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 it's magic, you know, never. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is, or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I'm going to kick off, and we are in the season of love.
Ooh,
love is upon us. You know, I'm a big romantic, and I love romance. I love chocolate and flowers and romantic movies.
I love a romantic gesture.
I love a romantic gesture as well. So to start off today for our Valentine's Day episode, I wanted to kick off with one of my favorite things, which is a Hallmark film, a Hallmark TV original.
I can see the hearts in your eyes already.
Yes. So every year... For Valentine's Day, they released at least 3 to 5 films. This year's films are particularly interesting, and they have one of my favorite Hallmark stars, Danica McKellar, who is from The Wonder Years. This is what she does now.
Okay. Well, good for her.
She plays the love interest in any Hallmark movie she possibly can.
Sure.
Maybe she owns stock. Who knows, right? So this is what they have for this year. These are the premieres that are coming out.
Who was she on The Wonder Years?
She was the girl. The
Winnie? Oh, okay.
I don't know what else she did besides The Wonder Years. I think she went right from The Wonder Years to Hallmark.
Okay.
She's waiting for her chance.
It's just like one day.
I feel like she's one of those actors that's like a 9-to-5. Like, what are we doing today?
Mm-hmm.
Love interest? What are the puppies? What do I got going on? Chocolate store? All right. So the movie that she's in is called Very, Very Valentine.
Very, Very Valentine.
Yes.
How can it get even... More Valentine. Mine is two varies.
Ours would be Valentine as fuck.
Yeah.
Valentine AF. So this premieres February the 10th, but it'll play probably as many times as you want to. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an on-demand. You don't want to miss it.
Hooray.
When Helen, a kind-hearted and shy florist, meets the perfect man at a Valentine's masquerade ball. So she's shy, but not too shy to like get dressed up like a Venetian and gallivant around. She enlists the help
of her... Does she get to wear a mask, though?
That's I hope so.
Yeah.
She enlists the help of her best friend, Henry.
Who's...
Yes.
Yeah.
To track him down, only to find that her perfect man may already be right in front of her. I'm guessing it might be Henry. Starring Danica McKellar, Cameron Matheson, and Damon Runyon.
Hmm.
All right, so...
Now, wait, who plays Henry?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell from the picture. Everyone in all the Hallmark movies, it's always an image of a man and a woman, right? Heterosexual. You can't tell the ethnicity. You can't tell how old they are. It's just extremely generic. It's like human.
Are they good looking?
I think so. They're good looking enough. Like, they're TV attractive, but they're not sexy because it's not about sex.
It's
about love.
Yeah, okay.
Right? It's Hallmark. There's also another film coming on called Cooking with Love.
Cooking with Love.
Optimistic and cheerful TV producer Kelly doesn't have time for love.
Wait a minute. They go to the restaurant in Manhattan that has only Buddhist monks cooking the food.
Yes.
Because they infuse
That's how
it
they
with
do.
Love.
Bad boy celebrity chef Steven doesn't have time for anything besides cooking.
Okay.
Fun with a side of love ensues as Kelly and Steven are paired on a children's cooking show.
I don't think that's fun.
How did this go in the pitch meeting? This is like three completely different things going on, whatever.
A children's cooking show. What do they make? The celery with peanut butter
and
raisins?
Yeah, what is it? The frog on a log or whatever?
Ants on a log,
I don't know. Then the other one they have is My Secret Valentine.
Ooh.
A young woman takes advice from the chalkboard notes that her mysterious house rental tenant leaves. It sounds like a horror. When a slick sales rep arrives with plans to buy her family's prized winery. Starring Lacey Chabert and Andrew Walker.
That
I don't know if this
scary.
Is right. It does sound scary.
I don't know.
Chalkboard notes. I don't know. So I wanted to ask you, because I haven't seen these. When I went to the movies most recently, they had like a preview for the last 50 Shades. I didn't know there were three of them.
Yeah.
Apparently now it's a thriller. What's going on?
I thought
it was a porn.
It's like softcore porn.
But so the first 50 Shades, it's like
50 Shades of Grey.
Intro to porn.
Yeah.
Then the second one, they're married, right?
Oh, I didn't even
and
know. That
somehow
happened.
It's still romantic.
Ew.
And the third one, there's a guy and a truck who is trying to get in on it.
Well, that sounds all right by me.
But it's a thriller. So I don't know what's going on.
So a guy in a truck takes him to his dungeon. And they're like, oh, remember?
Three-way.
This is so much like our dungeon, but it's dirty.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm actually, it looks so bad that I'm tempted to watch the third one. Because I just want to know how they managed to take it from like a household porn into like something that looks kind of Stephen King-esque. By the way, the guy with the truck, much better looking than
the other guy that plays the love interest, the 26-year-old multi-billionaire.
Yes, the head of Heart Industries, the president of Heart Industries.
Hello.
So anyway, that's my my film preview for Hallmark.
I can't wait to
to tuck into
up
those
on the couch.
Yes, with some organic gluten free.
Gluten free if it's Hallmark. Yes. You have to have a very
You have to be available for everyone.
Yeah. All right. So, Valentine's Day, St. Valentine was a man.
Okay. As he was, yes.
Right. And so kind of the story is that he was a priest who married Christian couples on the down low because they weren't allowed to be married during the time of whatever, like the 14th century or something.
Why weren't they allowed to be married?
Because Christianity was not popular.
Okay. All right.
Not accepted.
So he was doing it on the hush-hush.
Yes. And then he was thrown into prison and died as a martyr, supposedly.
Okay. This is 4th century, right? Not 14th, surely.
Something. Who cares?
It's got to be 4th.
It's
by 14th, Christians were running everything.
But also, he's not only the patron saint of Valentines and lovers.
Mm-hmm.
He is the patron saint of beekeepers.
Okay.
Plague victims.
Great.
And epilepsy sufferers.
Why?
There's something about his name.
The bees I get. The bees I can see.
You get that?
Yeah, I get that.
Okay, what do you think
But plague? I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's see. So, like, you know, bees select their mates, and so therefore that plague and epilepsy come in during the time where, anyway, people who were stuck with the plague.
Nobody loved them.
Yeah.
And Valentine was like, you know what? Show some love on a brother.
Exactly. It's
show
like
some
they'll
love.
Turn to any saint who's willing to help.
And he was like, I'll do it. Well, the other Saint Margaret's like, don't even come over here.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Saint Catherine? No.
And something about Valentine, the way it's pronounced in German, that
it means
like
leprosy.
Ball.
Okay.
So it is, that's why people who have seizures and epilepsy, they go to.
Wow. That's weird.
Like, yeah.
I feel like that started as a joke. And then it just became enshrined in the canon.
Yeah, so anyone who... So happy marriages, travel, fainting...
Lepers.
Bees, all under Valentine's...
Vertigo.
Jurisdiction.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right, so I found this thing here. This is like a little technology for the holiday, if you will. There's a dating app out there called The League. And apparently it is the Harvard of dating apps. I'd not
Harvard.
Heard of it.
How could it be the Harvard?
Because it's hard to get into. It's elite and difficult to get into. So apparently...
You have to have a lot of money?
Well, no, you don't have to have a lot of money, but they say it's like getting into college all over again.
Oh.
And you have to wait for admission to the app. So the app is started by this woman who seems like a millennial tyrant, Amanda Bradford. And her theory is the longer someone waits, the more eager they'll be to use the app once they're on it.
That's horrible.
I know. So she's creating a demand, like artificial demand.
Yeah.
Right, for something. It's hard to get on the League. The app is live in 30 cities across the country. It's been in D.C. for about a year. And after an interview, Bradford explained what people can do to get off the waiting list and other secrets behind the selective dating app. So first she says, don't leave your about me blank. So you have to fill out your forms first, and then they'll let you know if you're in. This sounds like middle school shit that, like, you want to get away from as an adult. You don't tell me I can't come into the club. I'm coming in.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
I'm coming in or else I'm not even, I'm not waiting
I'm not going to wait to get in. She said, would you apply to college without writing an entrance essay? Of course not. Well, it's smart to treat your League profile the same way. Bradford said she's modeled the app's acceptance practices after Harvard and Stanford's admissions criteria.
Really?
Yes.
But that's not what
that's not
you're
what dating is
for.
About.
Yeah.
But these people have no idea about the real world. So mm-hmm. everything for them is based around what happened from kindergarten up until they graduated mm-hmm. from college. Right? That's it. And they want to keep that world together. That's mm-hmm. how they want to keep doing things. I think that the way that colleges admit people is horrible. It mm-hmm. doesn't really work well. They're always trying to tweak it and make it better. But whatever. She said, in your About Me section, it has to be hilarious or quirky. For example... and classes, too, I guess. A cool job without graduating from college. What's a cool job? I'm not sure what that is. A huge social media network. So this is someone who is at their computer all the time or on their phone all the time. Can make the difference between getting in and getting on the waiting list.
But what does that have to do with your who you are and why somebody would want to date you?
I have no
Would you
want to
date somebody who's on social media all day?
No, I don't. But maybe these people do. I don't know. Or a cool job. I don't judge people on their job.
Or they're willing to wait online.
Like yeah.
Be out in the velvet rope, like a Studio 54 kind of person.
Yeah. Well, you know I don't wait.
Yeah.
As soon as I see a line, I move on. I'm like, where's the place without the line?
I always go to the front of the line and see if there's a way I can get to the front. And if I can't, then I leave.
Hi, I'm Katie Kasner. I need to be at the front of this line.
I have to use the bathroom. I've done this. I've done
this. Did
you
do this on the dating app? I got to go.
I have to go to the bathroom. I'm old enough to be your mother.
And then they let you in?
They let me in. Well, that's how you get in.
On the dating app. It, yes, could. It could. Hey, if there's guys that was out there looking for that for a woman who has a small bladder and could be their mother. Yeah. That's a type. Yeah. I'm sure that's a type. So they do a lot of screening for people. They say the majority of the app's users do have some higher education, but the admissions process is a bit like a brainier version of The Bachelor. She says, we try to let in people who we think want to be there. And be there for the right reasons. You sound like a horrible person.
Yeah.
I didn't read the comments. So apparently one of the good things about this site, or this app, The League, is that there are no fake profiles. I didn't know this was a problem on a lot of dating apps. Apparently there's spam bots and fake accounts on a lot of dating apps. How does that work?
Well, I guess it makes a person feel good, like, hey, somebody's interested in me, but then they don't answer.
But then they just ghost?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you know if that's fake or just someone who's not responding?
Well, because somebody, I guess the idea that you have messages in your inbox and someone's like, hey, how you doing? I think we'd be a good match.
Really?
Hit me up.
And then
you're like, hi, how are you? And then nothing. At least somebody talked to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seek help. See a therapist. There's another, once you're in, they tell you how to get more matches. So this is one of the ways. They say you have to have a high-quality professional photograph to get the biggest bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. Really? Headshots.
Mm-hmm.
It says having a professional photo says you're taking your career seriously enough that you want a good work profile. I'm sorry, the professional photos I've had taken by the day, I would not use them on a dating site.
Yeah.
I don't want my dating profile to be like, I do sales.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like... Who cares?
It's a blue jacket and the winning grin.
Yeah. Do you really want to know first what someone's profession is?
Dating is inside out and backwards.
Yes.
You usually see someone and they're like, hey, they look good to me. And then go up and get to know them.
Yeah. You take a sniff. You're like, okay, that's not offensive.
Yeah.
You know? And then you move from there.
And then you find out more about them. Now you find out everything about them.
He's the VP of sales.
Sounds good.
He sounds good. He's got this professional photograph. What's in the background? You know?
Yeah.
It says a quality photo provides an accurate view of the person you're swiping for. It's all about transparency. I want to arm people with as much information as possible, I guess, in the war on being single.
Mm-hmm.
It says you don't want all of your photos to be party pics. Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, every single one of them.
I want a picture of you at work typing. I want to see you at a copier machine. You know, I want to see you, like, making a deal.
Well, actually, you know what is, I saw a picture a guy posted where he's at his computer in a suit, but he's wearing a Santa hat because it was the holidays and he's fun.
Okay.
No. I was like.
He's fun? Who took that picture?
I don't know.
And how many, I always think about the backstory. How many times was that picture taken? Was he like, come on, dude, just take another one.
Because it's like, I'm fun.
Yeah.
But I work.
He's like, you know what? How'd you tip the hat to the side? No, it's too jaunty. Yeah. Too jaunty. Pull back. You know? So not just party pics. You don't want to look like you party all the time. You want to look like you have a well-balanced life. Never in my life when I was dating was I like, you know what? This guy has too much fun.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want to go on a date with him.
Well, then there's the picture of the guy in his semi-finished basement.
Yes.
with standing near a high top table. I don't know where he got that from. And then A, his hand is on a bottle of Bud.
Yes.
He's got a porn mustache.
Yes.
And a butt cut.
Yes.
T-shirt. And he's like, oh, a Jets t-shirt. Ugh.
Wow.
And it says, hey, who wants to get in a little trouble with me?
Wow. That might work for somebody. There's a lady out there who's a Jets fan. So then they also say here, include multiple interests in your profile. I'm just going to put feet. That's going to be my profile. And I'll have a picture of my foot.
Oh, my gosh. You like this?
I bet you would get so
There's
many
There's more than
people.
One.
Yes. There's another one where this came from. They come in pairs. What? Feet. So it says you have to put more interest in your profile so that it's overlapping. So someone will come up with a match. I just learned to surf, Bradford says. So when I see a guy with a surfing profile, I actually swipe right on him, even if I wouldn't have before. Best worst case, we can go surfing and he'll be an activity partner. That's exactly what he's on there looking for.
An activity partner.
Best worst case. So your best worst case is that you go surfing?
Yeah, I don't think
that. What kind of life do you have? If that's the best worst case.
That's the worst thing that can happen.
The best worst thing.
Oh my God.
I guess with the worst thing?
It changed to the radiator for
yes.
the weekend.
Change yeah. the radiator.
They got the four R's.
The four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repair.
209 West 40th Street. Hashtag BunkLifeNYC.
Also, they have a concierge. You don't know who they are, but they come on and say things like, David would be a good match for you. David just applied today. Yeah. And it says here, everyone thinks their city is the worst, but actually Atlanta is the worst. It has the worst gender ratios. There's a lot more educated women than men. There's a lot of women in New York as well. Lots of women in San Francisco. But ladies, if you're looking for dudes, the one city to go to where you can find them and they're just lying around on the street with great jobs and great profiles is Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow.
That's where all the guys who are serious about getting stuff done when they're younger go.
That's it.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
And I lived in D.C. years ago when I was, I guess, somewhat single, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And I observed that. There are a lot of very serious guys there. People come to D.C. to work. To get a jump on their career, to make connections, right?
Even
they don't
more
not
so
to play around.
Yeah.
Even more so than New York, because they're probably not going to stay in D.C. forever.
Yeah.
But for the time when you're in D.C., it's there for work.
Wow.
Right, to get things done.
And by the way, I loved your concierge voice that you did just a few moments ago.
Did that work? I thought yes. It was kind of creepy. David would be a good match for you. Please contact David today. All right, what do you have?
I have the most romantic ghost in New York City.
Nice. So is this Tales?
It's kind of Tales. So
okay.
You can gather around. Don't expect a giant digital bonfire, but...
Yeah, I mean, maybe just get near your heater.
Yeah. Because
yes. Just warm up. Warm your hands over some hot
get
cocoa.
Ready. Okay, so when you think about it, most ghost stories also have the element of romance in them, don't they? No, they don't.
No, not all of them. No. I mean, we've done some with demon lovers, but that's a very specific thing. Mm-hmm. Swipe right.
Common ghost origin stories tend to run one of three ways. A murder, a misdeed has been committed, or an unjust or sudden premature death occurred. They clearly have not been listening to
No,
our podcast.
What are you talking about? That's just getting started. Was shadow person mentioned?
Not at all.
They have needs. Swipe right.
In the spirit of St. Valentine, who was... who was very romantically beaten with clubs and beheaded on February 14th.
Wow.
We have a short list of the most romantical stories in New York.
Okay.
And the most people may be familiar with Gertrude Treadwell.
Yes. This is from the Merchant House. I love this. It's one of my favorite places. If any people are in town, definitely go to the Merchant House. It's one of the old only surviving examples of a house from that era. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Yes. It's
beautiful.
Yes. So they call her the most famous spinster ghost.
Yep. She sure was. Her clothes are still there.
Really?
Bitch threw out nothing.
Wow. She was born in 1840 to a wealthy merchant family on East 4th Street. And she grew up and fell in love with a very dreamy doctor named Lewis Walton.
Mm-hmm.
Walton, though, was a Catholic, and Gertrude's strict Episcopalian daddy forbade the marriage.
Yeah. They were serious about that back then. No papists.
Yeah, she never loved again, and she pined away on East 4th Street until she died in 1933. And she still haunts her old home, which is now a museum. And you've been there.
Yeah, I've been there. And I've heard some of the stories about her hauntings. She was kind of like Miss Havisham, this woman.
Yeah.
Like, she just stayed in her place. She refused to leave. She became more and more reclusive. She was the last person to be in that house.
Yeah.
And then I think she died in the house as well.
Yeah, she died there. And who would blame her? She has the money. Why?
Yeah.
She goes out and she gets her heart broken.
But what's interesting about that time is, so when her family first came to East 4th Street, it was popping. It was like the place to be. By the time she was an adult, it was seedy.
Wow.
So she was like an old rich woman living in this really, really beautiful house, where all around her things had begun to decay.
To fall apart.
Yeah.
And so, of course, that's why another reason not to go out the house.
Exactly.
Stay inside.
Just stay inside.
It's seamless. Delivered.
And people probably came by and were like, hey, what's happening, Gertie?
Yeah.
Right? She's still
like,
in there.
She's like, leave me alone.
Yes.
That's my Gertrude voice. Yes. Okay. Then there's Harry Houdini and his wife, Bess. Before he died, the two of them agreed on a secret phrase that one of them would transmit to the other after death through a medium.
This is in New York? I didn't know this took place in New York. Okay.
So they wanted to prove that a spirit contract between loved ones was indeed possible. It sounds sweet and it sounds right, but after the years go by, don't you kind of forget what it was?
Yeah.
Or you might, like, it might morph into something different?
I would think so. I'm like, did he say rosebud or rosemary?
Yeah.
Like,
things are rosy.
Yes.
And it's like, that's not it. And Harry Houdini on the other side is like, bitch.
It was Tulip.
It's me.
It's me.
And it was Tulip.
Yes.
Yes. So nobody, there was no reports of this.
So the word didn't get back?
Word didn't get back. I think because they forgot.
Probably.
Yeah.
Or maybe he was like, maybe he saw her doing something afterwards. Was like, you know what? Forget it.
Yeah. You can sit there.
Yes.
I'm watching you.
I'm watching you.
I'm going to push a bookshelf on
you. Yeah, why were you smiling at my funeral?
Yeah.
Something funny? Something amusing? I don't appreciate that.
Another high-profile New York City ghost is John Lennon, who is said to visit his wife Yoko at the Dakota apartment at least once occasion.
I didn't know that there was a ghost story associated with him. Okay.
His spirit appeared to her sitting at his white piano, and he turned to her and said, don't be afraid, I'm still with you.
Mm-hmm. And stop making those awful records.
Stop it, or I'll beat you again.
Yes.
Because like,
that's awful.
He wasn't nice.
Yeah.
Or maybe he turned, like, had an epiphany at some point, but
there was a lot of stuff going on
in
that relationship.
And then there's Aaron Burr. And everyone likes to hear about Aaron Burr because of the musical Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. But also because of The Duel.
The Duel. Oh, great. Fine, The Duel,
okay,
too.
Thank you. I haven't seen Hamilton. I probably never will. I still haven't seen the Mormon one.
You haven't seen Book of Mormon?
Yeah, let me know when it's $25 in August. I'll go.
It's funny.
I'm sure it is, but I'm not going to pay a lot of money to see that.
I went to see it, and this guy sitting near us took off his shoes.
Excuse me, sir?
And he sat there in his stocking feet.
Wow.
And I was pissed.
Did you call security?
I was about to. I took a picture and put it on Facebook.
Yeah, this guy.
Star-crossed lovers. I don't like this one. So he had a scandal, which was the shooting of Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, the Duel.
And he kept digging himself deeper and deeper into trouble. And he attempted to start his own country in Louisiana.
That's right.
And was tried for treason.
Oh.
Then he was exiled to France. Finally, he finished it all by marrying and then divorcing scandalous heiress Eliza Jumel.
What happened to him? Of the Jumel mansions?
Yes. Well, his ghost is fairly active around the town in New York.
Okay.
Apparently.
So I'd like to run into Burr.
His house, all right, he has been spotted on the Battery waiting for his daughter, Theodosia's ship, to come in because she was supposed to arrive and her ship was lost at sea.
Okay.
So he is often seen around the Carriage House, which is now the famous restaurant, one if by land, two if by sea.
Oh, I didn't know that. We have to go there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Check it out.
And that's incidentally voted the most romantic restaurant in New York.
Because of that?
No, it just is.
Okay.
It's super romantic.
I've never been there.
Yeah, I've been there.
Well, what's it like?
It's romantic.
I mean, like, in what way?
It is. It's the decor, the lighting, the ambiance of the whole thing. The service is like...
Is it white tablecloth, that kind of thing?
It's white tablecloth, chandeliers. It is the restaurant that most people if you go to propose to somebody, that's the restaurant you go to.
Huh. I have no
idea.
It's
one of, it's number 5 in the 10 most romantic restaurants in the world.
So, like, every, you go, if we go there to have, like, some drinks every 5 minutes, we're going to be like, yay, yes. Rebecca and Stan, you know.
Yes, and Kurt.
Yeah. It's a three-way.
And Stan and Kurt.
Yes.
Yeah, so he is often walking around there waiting for his, because that was his carriage house.
Huh. Oh, I like that.
Yes.
One if by land, two if by sea.
Yeah, or okay. If you're in the know, one if by land, Tibbs.
Tibbs?
Tibbs. Two if by sea.
Two if by sea,
because you don't want to waste your time going.
Yeah. I mean, I've already said one if by land, and now I'm exhausted.
Yeah, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about one if by land, two if by sea.
All right, fill us in.
That it is the most romantic restaurant. And I think that's all I had about
that's,
it.
That's it? Okay. That's all they have to say? Yeah. Do they have a nice lobster bisque or something?
They have a fantastic beef Wellington.
Okay. Which is, I'm not sure what that is.
It is this beef dish.
What's the Wellington
I've
aspect
had
of it?
I've had it before. Actually, my boyfriend took me there and I was like, oh my God.
Is this going to happen?
Is he going to propose to me?
Oh no. Were you horrified?
I was a little horrified, but we just came back from a vacation, and I was like, we just came back from, why are we going here?
Okay.
And he's like, because the food was awful. I really want to eat some good food, and I heard the place was good.
A romantic at heart. I heard their beef Wellington is off the chain.
Yeah. So that's why we were there.
Wow.
No, but what if by land, two if by sea, actually. So it was his carriage house.
Okay.
And then it turned into... a house of ill repute.
Of course.
And it changed hands several times. It was a restaurant over and over again, but it finally turned into one if by land, two if by sea. The decor features candlelit tables, brick fireplaces, a baby grand piano, and a private garden.
Wow.
Yes.
And where is this?
It is
in Lower Manhattan,
17 Barrow Street.
Wow. Okay, that's one of those streets that you have to you have to find it.
You have to really find
it. You have to know what you're doing downtown because it becomes crazy down there.
Yeah. So
and of course it's expensive.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll just have some water, some toast, and 3 oysters. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So I found this in the High Court of Love, which I think sounds like a Prince song, but it's sadly not. Is that in Paris? A High Court of Love was established on Valentine's Day in 1400. This court actually dealt with love contracts.
Love contracts?
Love contracts, another Prince song, could be. And betrayals, which judges selected in a very different way. So the judges had to read poems, and I guess whoever read the best poem would be chosen as the judge.
Oh my God.
So it was like an oratory contest, yeah.
Fantastic. I'd want to be a judge.
And so the earliest surviving Valentine itself is a 15th century poem written by Charles, Duke of Orleans, to his wife, as he was languishing in the Tower of London. He had been captured in the Battle of Agincourt in 1415 and rather sadly and pensively wrote. And I actually found the poem. It was kind of interesting. But it starts with, I am already sick of love.
Woo!
My very gentle Valentine. So I'll read a little bit of the poem, if I may. I am already sick of love, my very gentle Valentine, since for me you were born too soon.
What?
And I, for you, was born too late.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Little May, December. God forgives him who has estranged me from you the whole year. I am already sick of love, my very gentle Valentine. Well, might I have suspected that such a destiny thus would have happened this day. How much that love would have commanded. I am already very sick of love, my very gentle Valentine. So he wrote this when he was imprisoned.
Wow.
And I guess he was able to get the message out. It says here, it's the earliest surviving recorded Valentine, a medieval French poem called Farewell to Love, the Duke of Orleans, to his wife, Vaughan of Armagnac. He wrote the poem while he was in the Tower of London. At the time, he was 21 years old.
Wow. How old was she?
It doesn't say how old she was, but she must have been...
born too early, we know that much. well, he's a gentleman. Well, he's not going to mention her age.
Because he was a royal.
Yeah.
Like, so I was reading a little bit on his history. He didn't have a choice. So he'd been married when he became a duke when he was 13. He was forced into marriage when he was 12.
That's too early.
And he married a woman who was 17. I'm sure both of them were just like, great. Great. Like, this is going to go really, really well.
Yeah.
And then he was remarried. It's bizarre.
That's
so maybe he actually was in love with this woman by this time. I mean, you know, when you get married at 12, by the time you're 21, you've seen it.
Yeah.
You've had it all. You've been through the mill.
And maybe he just wanted a mother figure.
Who knows? But yeah, very interesting. So that is the earliest poem. I am already sick of love.
Wow.
My very gentle Valentine. Yeah.
I like it.
All right. What do you have?
Let's see. How to find love in time for Valentine's Day.
Okay. So quick. This one happens quickly because this is coming out just a few days before Valentine's Day.
Hurry.
So, you know, Depeche Mode.
So first of all, navigating the party season as a singleton is all fun and games until January dawns and
Oh, you're talking about the holiday party season.
Okay. And it hits you that Valentine's Day won't be far behind it.
Right in the kisser.
You saved a few pennies not having to buy extra presents for another half and enjoyed a few kisses under the mistletoe without hurting any feelings.
Another half?
I love this opening to the article.
I'd like a third half, please.
Enjoyed a few kisses under the mistletoe without hurting feelings.
Why are we still talking about this? This stuff was out of date when we were children.
I know.
Mistletoe? Okay.
So, you need to find yourself a special someone before February 14th. Mm-hmm. Hurry.
Yeah, rush.
Okay, so you can speed things up by being a peacock.
Excuse me?
This is for your dating bio. Most people either use self-depreciating humor or just say how tall they are, or honest but slightly boring, like, I love traveling.
I love a sunset.
Yeah.
I'm 5'2".
Doesn't really scream, I'm a super cool person who's really open to finding a relationship on here.
Okay. It really, what it says is like, I'm not a copywriter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a professional writer. I'm just a guy out there or a girl out there who's looking for a little love.
Yeah. What you're doing on these, a lot of these is just to make yourself sound normal.
Yeah.
So you can be in the mix.
But imagine.
And not be like, why are you being all wild and crazy?
But so it's different for people like ourselves who, you know, attempt to be wild and crazy and study wild and craziness in the undergraduate milieu. But for just a regular person who's not used to writing stuff all the time that's funny, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
I like feet. It's like, well, I do.
They said just big yourself up and peacock like crazy. What are your best qualities?
Okay.
What do you love about yourself?
No, you've just told a guy who was like, I wrote I like to travel. They're telling me that's wrong. Now I got to go nuts.
Yeah. And says you could turn I love traveling into I can never turn down a cheeky weekend away, but equally won't ever refuse a cheeky Nando's.
Huh?
I don't even know what that means.
What is a Nando's?
I have no idea. I may have missed something, but I don't know what a Nando's means. Is?
I might contact that person. Yo, what is that? I say use a song lyric. I mean, I like big butts and I cannot lie, you know?
Yeah.
That's going to get somebody.
I'm just looking through this article, scanning it really quickly. There's no reference to Nando's.
Nando's?
I have no idea what that is. If anyone knows what a cheeky Nando's is.
How do you spell it?
Nandos.
Nando's. I don't know. It sounds like an Italian restaurant.
I know.
Is that in Jersey? Isn't an Italian restaurant near the casinos?
Okay.
Nando's? They do a great lobster bisque.
Okay. Another thing to do to get a lover fast is to pay them compliments. Let your guard down.
Pay them. Stop the... It's to pay them.
All right. Pay them. Period.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a C note?
No, this is
lovers do.
Pay them compliments.
Okay.
Let your guard down. Let them know you like them.
Girl, you look good.
No one likes a fluffer.
This is like so extreme.
This is, but they call a fluffer in this context a frequent giver of insincere flattery.
Wow, do they know that has another meaning?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yes, go to Urban Dictionary if you really want to know what a fluffer is.
Get fluffed, summer 2018. By Nando.
Cheeky Nando.
Cheeky Nando. Hashtag Cheeky Nando.
Get your Cheeky Nandos on.
Yes.
But everyone is drawn to an honest and heartfelt accolade.
Okay.
If there's something you want to tell them, don't hold back.
You got a great rack.
Tell embarrassing stories, act silly, have a mini food fight. No.
Oh, what? What culture is this from?
Basically, just let your guard down and be yourself around them.
If someone even flings one small piece of fruit at me, I'm calling security.
That's not being myself. I don't throw food at it. Oh, that's just me.
Oh, that's just me.
I just like to fling a
cupcake.
Yeah.
One of the little tiny Baked by Melissa ones.
I get so mad when I see a food fight. I think it's the worst.
I've always wanted to be in a cream pie fight, but that's only because I used to watch, you know, those kind of corny movies as a kid. But a food fight, it's a bad idea.
Let's see. Another way to get them to fall in love with you before Valentine's Day.
Fast. Working fast.
And introduce them to your family.
Huh? No!
I know! This is terrible. Well,
whose family? Introduce them to a family. Hire actors to play a family. Unless your family's like the Royal Tenenbaums, no one's going to be that blown away.
Yeah. No, it sounds drastic.
Here's my racist grandfather. Your family? He's on oxygen. Just tell him you're Indian. He liked that. You know? Come on.
Their thinking is, your family are the people who are closest to you, and by meeting them, your partner will instantly feel closer to you as well.
Really?
Wow.
None of this is good.
When you know someone's background, where they grew up, where their parents are like, how they act with their siblings.
Mm-hmm. All the things that you're trying to hide up top.
That's when you start feeling like you're part of the person's life.
So you got to do that.
Hide it. Hide it all.
How about that's the first date?
Yeah.
You've had you've offered a cheeky Nando. You flung food of all kinds at her. You've told her you like feet and travel. Now take her home to your family. Boom. Bring a ring. Afterwards, you take her to One If I Land Tibbs.
Yeah.
Right. And it'll all come together.
Wine and dine them. This should have came first.
Yes! Put that up top.
It can be easy to forget that courting your partner in the early months of the year, your mind is full of politics, lingering Christmas debt, and attempts to ignore the constant barrage of ads about gyms. Mm-hmm. But it's not all down to your partner to think of fun things to do and to try to get you out of the winter blues.
The gym thing is real. I've been going to the gym, same gym for 10 years, and in January this year, it's millennial hell in there.
Yeah.
It's like they're forcing them through some kind of middle passage. Like, they have ropes.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, high intensity everything. I'm waiting for them to all shatter their knees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all about burpees. Yes. These giant ropes that are probably about 6 inches in diameter.
Yeah, call them the slave ship ropes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they're doing. I saw one, and one, they have a half a tire, and they have to, like, push it, and this guy yells at them.
Yeah.
Calls them pansies. I don't know.
It's terrible. It's like this torture, and they feel like this is what they need.
They feel like
that's
what they have to do. What happened to a nice little aerobics?
Yeah.
You know? A little side to side.
Side to side, a little wiggle.
Yeah, we'll go over the top. You know?
Yeah, over the top of that step.
Yeah. And now travel.
Yeah. So spend your spare time planning thoughtful gifts, searching for tickets to that comedian they love. Or surprising them with some shiny new sex toys.
You'll have no problem getting tickets to that comedian because no one sees live comedy anymore. Oh, next.
Yeah. Start our next Netflix series together, meaning watching it. Huh? I thought they meant start like
that would be awesome. If somebody was like, hey, let's write a Netflix series together, swipe right.
Yeah.
Swipe right. That's awesome.
But if you start watching one together, then you have the connection.
Netflix and chill? I don't think so.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio, and you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com, so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Mmm, box of wine.
I don't know. But you do actually, like, if you have a series that you discuss with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fun.
That's fun. And that's a way to.
But I also think it's fun to be like, let's write a Netflix series together as well. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, not bad. I mean, we fixed that. So here's another thing I was looking up. France. This is a Valentine's Day custom. It was called the Lottery of Love.
The Lottery of Love.
Or Drawing for. Just quickly. A married people gathered in houses facing each other and called the name of their chosen partner through the windows.
What?
Freddie!
All right.
It all seemed very romantic, but the charm was spoiled. So this was going on for years, right?
Okay. Where is this?
This was in France, back in the day. But the charm was spoiled when the man decided his choice didn't come up to scratch and proceeded to desert his Valentine.
Ooh.
So you'd be like, Freddie? He'd be like, I don't think so, Felicia. Bye.
Wow. Right?
So over the years, the women got angrier and angrier at getting rebuffed, and they retaliated by developing this custom of building a huge bonfire where they would burn the guy in effigy along with any other things they could think of that represented Freddy and his fake ass.
Good.
And a huge bonfire. And eventually it became such a big deal that they banned it.
Really?
I guess the fires were getting out of control. People were throwing, you know, all kinds of things in.
Because these guys don't know how to behave. If you're acting like that and humiliating someone like that and insulting, then what do you expect?
But I like the idea of a whole town where it'd be like, we're going to burn this piece down. What you got? What do you have of Freddy? What are his Nikes? Put him in there, girl. whatever he has, his stereo, put it in there.
Yeah.
A picture of him, put it in there. Uh-huh. And it became huge. And they were like, it's got to stop. Like, we can't go on like this. So they banned it.
Oh,
they said it was embarrassing, apparently, for the country that women were setting these bonfires and being like, yeah, Freddy sucks.
I think it's great.
I think it's hilarious. If the dudes were smart, they would have been there with marshmallows. I mean, they would have figured out a way to get in on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Firemen would have showed up.
Or, yeah, right.
Did somebody call for a fire?
Yeah. Like, is it hot over here, ladies?
Yeah, is it hot over here? All right, what do you have?
Let's see. Here's animal news.
Oh, awesome. Barnyard news. This is where we talk about barnyard. This is the segment where we talk about animals inside the barnyard and outside the barnyard. And is this a love related?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, somebody asked, do animals get divorced?
Huh?
Well, the idea, come on, they don't have marriages.
Yeah.
They get divorced, but that's unique to humans.
As far as we know.
But some more than 90%, about 90% of the species in the animal kingdom mate with multiple partners.
Okay.
But there are some animals that choose one mate for a long time and for their lifetimes. But could they get sick of that?
I'm just imagining a penguin being like, I don't see any difference between you and everybody else.
Well, like bees mate, like the queen bee mates with anywhere from one to like more than 40 partners.
Mm-hmm. That's a queen.
That's a queen. You know, and they're talking about this in a way they say, oh, she's a promiscuous queen. I'm like, don't use that word.
That promiscuous? No, she's trying to ensure the survival of the hive. Yeah. Are you kidding me? She's probably bored. He's like, what are you, number 37? Just get in here and do your thing, dude.
Like, the bonobo chimpanzee mates in all sorts of positions with multiple partners, male and female.
Wow.
Yeah, they just...
They party.
Yes. A few animals that mate for life are the wolf.
Okay.
And a typical wolf pack is the father, mother, and their young.
Typical wolf. Typical wolf media.
And other ones that are mostly monogamous are swans, black vultures, prairie voles, termites, turtle doves, and a parasitic worm.
Excuse me? Why a vole?
Prairie vole.
Why prairie voles?
Because
I know nothing about them.
I don't know either. But there is this... the world's oldest married animal couple is a pair of giant tortoises.
And they've had it. They don't talk to each other anymore.
Well, after 115 years together, they started fighting.
Really? How?
Yes.
They just went into their shells and they were like, that's it.
How did they know? The female tortoise began attacking the male tortoise for no apparent reason.
They say it's no apparent reason, but it's 115 years. You don't know what happened.
Yeah. And they have since split up into different habitats.
How?
They just stay away from each other. Because they can live up to 150 years.
I know, but
so
I'm
the
just,
zoo staff was like, we got to get them back together.
If the female one was like trying to smash the lock to get out, or like, what's going, you know.
Whoever wrote this is a bit misogynistic because they said, it says in parentheses, after it says female tortoise began attacking the male tortoise for no apparent reason, it says no surprise there.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't
know what he did.
You don't know what he did.
Don't know her life.
Yeah. So they tried, the zookeepers were like, they've got a good 35 years that they've got to be
together. Well, they introduced a younger turtle.
Yeah, so they got another female tortoise to live with the male.
Okay. What about the woman?
To make her jealous. Like, they put this other woman in there.
Uh-huh. When they went gay?
No dice. She didn't seem to care much at all. She's like, good, take him.
Yeah, enjoy.
I do not care.
Phew. If this had happened 30 years ago, I wouldn't have had to attack his ass.
Yeah.
I didn't know that tortoises could attack each other. With what?
Their faces.
Their mouth. But just like headbutting each other or what?
They bite. They can bite.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
They open up their mouth and they can nip.
I think of them as this very docile, like chilled out animals, but apparently not.
No. When they get mad, they get mad.
I was thinking of her like picking up an iron and just hitting him across the shell with it or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm at it.
Yeah, well,
that's rough.
Animal news.
Wow. Barnyard news. So just a couple of facts on Valentine's Day. 141 million Valentine's Day cards are exchanged annually. It is the second most popular greeting card giving occasion. This does not include the packaged cards that kids buy. Do they still have those?
Oh, yeah, they
do. Or have they outlawed that in school?
Probably. Unless they give one to everyone, and then it's like, some parents will be like, you can't give the same-sex ones to each other.
Oh, my goodness. When we were kids, we gave them to our friends. They were friendship cards.
You gave them to everybody in the class.
Yeah, and then I would give my best friend, I'd be like, I'll save the Garfield one for you.
Yeah.
You know, this one's for you. We're best friends. Mm-hmm. But you would give up, and it was always a thing. That's when you learn, when you're a kid, what kind of person you're going to be. Mm-hmm. Because in society, your parents and your teachers tell you have to give a card to everyone. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I don't like Cher. I don't want to give her a card. Why should I have to? Mm-hmm. She's mean. Oh, well, you have to give her one anyway. So then what I did, I was just, I wrote the card out, and I just, you know, forgot to give it to her. Because bitch got to know. It's like...
stayed in your book bag and
in accident, or I gave her like the OD card, like, here you go.
Yeah, that's what I think of you.
This is what you get.
It's true.
You get the purple Pyman card.
Well, the thing is, yes, you can give a card to everybody, mm-hmm. but we all know who. Well,
yeah,
if you get an OD, you know, and if you get Garfield, you know. Yeah, so go get the hand out all the cards.
Sure,
let them know.
I just thought it was so, and there were some people who I was like, I'm not giving him a card. He's a bigot. Yeah. Like, we're in third grade. I'm pretty sure he said some shit. And I'm not giving him a card. I'm sorry. I don't like the cut of his jib.
I gotta give him a card.
Whatever.
I've mentioned this before, but all the holidays that come up throughout the year, mm-hmm. people think they all have Christian roots, but they're really pagan holidays.
No, they're all pagan.
And Christians smear religion all over
them. Of course, because they're late to the party. If you're the last person to show up, of course.
Yes. So we can't let the day go by without talking about Lupercalia. Mm-hmm. One of the most ancient Roman festivals celebrated every year in honor of Lupercus, the god of fertility.
Hey.
The festival was held on the 15th of February, where Romulus and Remus were said to have been nurtured by the she-wolf.
Yep.
The place contained an altar and a grove sacred to the god Lupercus. And here...
Is there wolf skin involved in this? I hope there is.
They sacrificed goats and dogs at first.
Goats and dogs?
Yes, animals remarkable for their strong sexual instinct.
All right, so that kicks the party off.
Yes, and thus
you imagine going to a mixer and that's the first thing that happens. they kill all the sexy
animals.
But
it was all about hardcore sex. Okay. Not hardcore sex. I shouldn't say that. Just what? About getting down.
It probably was.
So this was. This February 15th was all about sexuality and sex rights. So the pagans had a variety of sex rituals, which included, like you're talking about, men running through the streets with pelts that they would smack women with.
Wow.
But the women, not hard. They were receptive to it. Actually, the women would either put out their hands or put out their butts.
Okay. Wow.
And get a smack.
Okay.
And it was supposed to help with good sex, purify them, bring fertility, all mm-hmm. that good stuff. That
nice.
We all like
it's like mass
going.
Foreplay.
Yes.
We're all going to run and tease women at the same time.
Yes.
Then we're going to run back and pick up who's ready.
Yeah. So everyone, they would all laugh and have a good time, and this was a great thing that went on for a very, very long time. They were talking about the thongs. They were like, men would wear the thongs and then take thongs to hit other.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Running up and down the streets of the city.
Yeah.
With this stuff.
With a dress like a wolf. Yeah. And then whipping off your thong and teasing ladies with it.
Yeah.
I mean, pagans had a good time. I think the problem comes with the way that we try to celebrate Valentine's Day today is because of Christianity. It's a love thing.
It's a love thing. It's not about
instead of just
hot
this.
Sex.
Yeah, I guess it's just everyone running around and being, you know, promiscuous mm-hmm, for a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a purification from curses, bad luck, infertility. You're not barren for pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And they would also bring things to purify, including wool and brooms and pine boughs to make the air sweet and pure.
Huh. That's kind of cool.
Of course, then the Pope was like, ugh.
No, everyone's having too much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were trying to do away with that. But yes, Lupercalia. That's what I'm going
to
celebrate.
I wish that we would go back to celebrating these pagan holidays, because I feel like people could have there'd be a lot fewer issues.
Yeah.
Like, it's clear what that is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's clear. And you wouldn't have children involved in it.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be happening in the schools. There would not be little Johnny running around just like a wolf hitting Susie on her ass.
Sticking out her ass.
Or a hand.
To get a smack.
It would just be something adults did. It was a part of, you know, a way to release, mm-hmm. a way to get together and party, and then you're moving on.
Yeah.
Right? So with that in mind, of all of you out there, if you want to celebrate Lupercalia, we invite you to do so.
Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day. Abracadabra, form of a
bedroom. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks. Now I ain't no psychic, but I can see what you mean, girl. And you don't have to write it, 'cause looking at your body I can read.